Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well, now you've got it.
Ray, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
All right, welcome, welcome, welcome. It's 4 p.m. here in the UK, in Newcastle upon Tyne. Not sunny Newcastle today. Overcast and drizzly and wet. But still warm-ish. About 7 degrees centigrade, so it's a manageable temperature. It's a kind of temperature where you can wander around comfortably. No sign of any snow, so I'm happy. We're almost at the springtime. We're almost at a place where I don't need my coat. Almost. I do still need my coat, and I will still be wearing a coat for the next couple of weeks. But we're almost there, and. Yeah, it's a good day all in all. It's a good day. I had my breakfast. I've had a bath. I've had a wander around the university campus area. I went up this morning after my breakfast. I went up to a little place where they do kind of water research. They do like water drainage research. There's a little dike on a bank on some wasteland behind the university. And they've got it set up so there's a little kind of reservoir. It's just a little bit of a swampy bit, marshy bit at the bottom. But I think they're measuring how quickly the water drains off the wasteland. I think that's the idea. So I went up there. There's a little path. And because it's a bank, It's a good place to just lie on the grass. I can lie on the grass up there and stretch out, stretch my spine out, take my shoes off and chill out for a few minutes. And I don't know whether it makes any difference, really. It might. It might be a placebo. It might be a real difference. I don't know. But I'm looking into it. I've been posting a lot of material on the podcast about earthing, about grounding. So this is my motivation for doing this. It's kind of a test of what people are saying is happening. I'm going to assume it is, up to a point, but then I'm kind of looking at other research as well and looking at what else might be happening. But I've definitely got a feeling of being more connected with my body since I went up there this morning. But that could be just a psychological thing. It could be me talking myself into it. But I seem to have more kind of awareness of aches and pains, little aches and pains that I didn't know were there, now seem to be available. to me as conscious aches. So I'm more consciously connected to my body, I think. So that's something that's come from it. But it could just be me fooling myself. I've got no way to know. As of yet, I've got no real way to know. If these aches and pains start to disappear, as is claimed by the people who kind of promote earthing, then I'll be a very happy man. And my neck seems to have loosened up a little bit. That's the other thing that's happened since this morning, is the tightness that I always have in my neck is loosening a little bit, but I don't know how much and I don't know how long for. And it could have been the bath, in all honesty, because I do kind of lie in the bath for about an hour usually, and that loosens my neck up, so it could be that. So we're going to have to wait and see if the effects of tomorrow are the same, and the effects of Monday are the same. If there's some kind of body consciousness thing going on, then I'll be happy, because I think that's a positive thing, generally, to be kind of aware and in touch with your body. And if the little aches and pains and the stiffness and the muscle tightness starts to loosen up, then I'll be even happier. At the moment, I'm going to assume that sort of thing is possible, because the people promoting grounding, which is a guy called Clint Ober, who's the guy who came up with the idea. Well, I think he probably got it from Indian medicine somewhere down the line, but he's the guy who came up with the grounding mat idea anyway. So all of these things are interesting to me, because I like to look for things that are free or very cheap that will maintain my health. And I'm starting to feel like a 57-year-old, which is not necessarily a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm starting to feel kind of achy and noticing my age a little bit more. So it may or may not be the case that these aches and pains disappear or reduce. I don't have a lot of pain, in all honesty. I get a little bit of sciatica now and again, but it's not major. And it's only like once every 10 years or something. Something happens and I get a sciatic nerve pain going on. The last time was about 15, 16, maybe 17 years ago. But I was limping for a couple of days, 2 or 3 days, until it sorted itself out, until I sorted it out. I usually use a couple of acupressure points as a point behind my knee. So you put your thumb in behind your knee and your 3 fingers in front and just press as hard as you can manage. So it makes kind of a triangle with your arms, pulls you back into kind of an upright position just by making a triangle. And it does that does tend to clear the pain up. I used that same thing when I slipped a disc about 25 years ago, something like that, maybe 20 years ago. Can't remember. It's a long time ago anyway. I slipped a disc and I was in agony for about a day. Well, I was on the floor for half a day, unable to move. And then I kind of struggled up to my bookshelf and pulled out an acupressure book that had some points in it for back pain, which is where I got that point behind my knee from. So I managed to clear up that particular slip disc, cleared up within about a day and a half. I was living in North London at the time, and within a day and a half, within 2 days, I was on the bus going into the West End of London. And it's a jumpy bus ride, because there's humps in the road to slow down the traffic, so it's not a pleasant bus ride if you've got a bad back, I can tell you. But I managed it, and I managed to wander around in the West End and have a cup of coffee and go for a beer or whatever and do what I normally do without the back pain stopping me from living my life. I'm not a fan of pain stopping me living my life. I don't do that at all. So it has to be sorted out, but it has to be sorted out cheaply and effectively and ideally in a way that's free. So the things that I've found so far, the things that I've found that are free are acupressure, except you're probably going to have, these days you can look on the internet, but back when I split my disc, the internet consisted of America Online and CompuServe, so there wasn't very much material on acupressure or acupuncture meridians or anything like that on the internet at the time. But I did have a book that I think cost me £5 in a remaindered bookshop somewhere. It's the best £5 I've ever spent. Absolutely the best £5 I've ever spent. So acupressure is free and works. And there are things like emotional freedom technique, which is free. There's lots of material online. Lots of YouTube videos will teach you how to do emotional freedom technique. So there's a version of it on some of my early shows where I was doing a version of emotional freedom technique for the radio that I kind of adapted and simplified. And that pretty much works, but it's based on the acupuncture meridian system and affirmations. So it's pretty good. I found it to be pretty good overall. The other thing that works for me is a thing called Immunix, which is a weird thing that I found on YouTube when I was looking for a cure for cancer about 9 or 10 years ago. I remember it was Easter. It was the Easter weekend. So I must have been working at the time, I think. I was making use of the Easter weekend to research cures for cancer on YouTube, which is bizarre, but that's what I do kind of sometimes. But at the time, I found a thing called Immunix, which is kind of a taking things out and putting things in process, using a kind of a form of dowsing, using your body as a method of dowsing answers to questions. So that I found to be quite useful over the years. It's useful for kind of early stages of cold symptoms. They make some assumptions about viruses existing, which I don't agree with now, but I didn't have a problem with it then, and it does still work. So it's all symbolic, so it doesn't really matter what assumptions they make, because everything they're doing is... it's basically symbolic anyway. But I've found it to be very useful and very, very effective over the years. I used to use it when I was working in telesales. If I was getting frustrated or noticing that my voice was stressed out or whatever, sometimes at the beginning of the day as well, I would do an Immunix session just to take out my resistance to making appointments with people, and my resistance to talking to people, and my resistance to having positive conversations with people, or whatever, however you want to phrase it. And I found it to work pretty well. So if I went through a couple of days without making an appointment and did an Immunix session for 5 hours, and you can do it while you're on the phone, so that's the benefit of Immunix, is it's simple enough. If you put a grid on a piece of paper, you can douse using your hand, using your fingers as a way to get an answer to a question in between phone calls. So that was a very effective technique that I used to use when I was doing telesales. The videos are buried at the moment on YouTube, but you can find them. If you look for the guy who came up with it, is a guy called Bayard Barnes. It's B-A-Y-A-R-D. And Barnes, B-A-R-N-E-S. So I'm not going to play any of that today, because I've found some material on grounding that I've listened to half of this, but this is the other side. This is the does it work conversation. So I'm kind of assuming that it works and waiting for it to happen, whereas this guy is assuming that it might work but looking for evidence. So I think it's a useful thing to have both, both kind of sides of the argument. So I found this on YouTube about 20 minutes ago, half an hour ago. So I've listened to about 10 minutes of it, but I'm going to play the whole thing. I think it's about a 20 minute. It's a 22 minute video, this, so it should be about the right length for this kind of show. So I'll post a link in the chat. The video is called Does Grounding Work? In-depth look at research and voltage test.
Hey, it's Mike here, and today, grounding or earthing, whatever you want to call it, we're talking about connecting yourself electrically to the earth, the surface of the earth, really, and that is the same phenomenon as the grounding plug in your outlets here, especially in the U.S. We're going to look at all the claims that are made around grounding, a lot of times to sell some grounding products, also just looking at the current state of science in this field, which I have to say is largely funded by the grounding product industries. And the claims are sometimes pretty shocking. We have ones ranging from changing blood markers and the earth acting as an antioxidant, all the way to accelerating wound healing and potentially treating or preventing COVID. So we're going to go there. I also am going to whip out my multimeter / voltmeter, and we're going to have fun measuring some electric currents when I'm touching or not touching a grounding mat that I happen to have been given. So I'm excited about that. And then I also just want to keep it grounded, keep my feet on the ground here, and just say I am not actually trying to debunk this. I'm not trying to promote this. I was just genuinely curious, so I decided to do a sweep of the literature, learn more about the theory of electrical stuff, the claims that they're making as an industry versus the other scientific electrical facts that are out there. And thankfully, grounding isn't harmful other than perhaps a little bit to your wallet. You know, they can be as cheap as $25 for grounding mat, all the way up to like close to $2,000 if you want them decked out with crystals. But you get the point. Let's just go. Grounding as a health practice is not accepted by the mainstream, and that's annoying because they're just saying, oh, it's...
All right, the video's kind of going around in a circle in the middle, so I'm going to keep talking until it comes back. So that's typical, isn't it? So I didn't download the video, but I will now. And then maybe, just maybe, I can play it, if I have to, from the downloaded version. Because it stopped playing. Live radio. Right, let me redo the page and see if that brings it back, honestly. Should really have done this before, but what can you do? I only found it about half an hour before the show started, so... It is what it is. Let me, now I've got, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do it from the downloaded version that I've just downloaded, which didn't take any time at all to download. So I don't know why.
Voltage is healthier. All right, now I'm going to do a sort of quick review of the main.
Right, plan B. This is now. There we go. Start from the beginning again. Here we go. This ought to work a little bit better.
My feet on the ground here. And just say, I am not actually trying to debunk this. I'm not trying to pass my gear and vote this. I'm just genuinely curious, whatever you want to call it. We're talking about connecting yourself electrically to the earth, the surface of the earth, really, and that theory, same electrical phenomenon as in the grounding plugs in your outlets here, especially in the U.S. We're going to look at all the claims that are made around grounding. And thankfully, grounding isn't harmful other than perhaps a little bit to your wallet. You know, they can be as cheap as $25 for grounding mat all the way up to like close to $2,000 if you want them decked out with crystals. But you get the point. Let's just go. Grounding as a health practice is not accepted by the mainstream, and that's annoying because... They're just saying, oh, it's not legit, but they're not actually doing perhaps high-quality studies to disprove it that are independent. So we have the studies that are largely from the industry, which we'll get into later, but the main sales pitch of the grounding technique is that, you know, we've become modernized throughout history. Our feet would be on the ground. ground and the Earth's natural electrical charge would sort of push some electrons up into our body and help regulate us and make us healthier. I can't say our life expectancy was super high before the invention of rubber-soled shoes, which of course would insulate you from the Earth, another thing, but I understand the idea of being more and more disconnected from nature. Obviously, that has a lot of negative health impacts, but it's also beneficial to get out there in nature. We have several studies whether or not you have rubber-soled shoes that show the benefit there. So is it being in nature, or is it the actual grounding effect? And thankfully, a lot of the studies are done with grounding mats that are not done in nature, so that'll answer that maybe. But the claim that really got me interested in this as somebody that is focused on diet and antioxidants and how amazing plants are for that is the claim that the Earth is actually an antioxidant force that works up through your body due to the extra electrons that are in the Earth's surface. Now, we have papers like this one by a Dr. Oshman, who we're going to learn about a bit more in a second, but that brings me to a description from the Washington Post. They say, quote, "One reason direct physical contact with the ground might have beneficial physiological effects is the Earth's surface has a negative charge and is constantly generating electrons that could neutralize free radicals, acting as antioxidants." Yes, electrons have a negative charge, and fun fact, the Earth's surface generally has a negative electric charge, except when it's before or during a lightning storm that actually switches in polarity. Interesting. But back to that grounding paper, they say wearing those insulating shoes blocks you from that grounding force, which disconnects people from the Earth's electrical rhythms and free electrons. Nowadays, we've got to pay for our electrons. It's horrible. And as for antioxidants and oxidative stress, which is, of course, damaging to the body and promotes disease and aging, we have these free radicals that are lacking an electron in their shell. So antioxidants generally have extra electrons. Again, if you can have the Earth give you extra electrons and sort of neutralize those free radicals, then you would have less oxidative stress. Everything would be good. Could literally putting your head in the sand be a great treatment for head-related issues? However, there still doesn't appear to be a study that is done that actually looks at antioxidant status before, after, during grounding. That doesn't seem to exist. But I think we need to zoom out and think about what's happening practically here. Would some electrons from your feet or the surface of your body really be able to, say, buffer the oxidative stress from an oxidized chunk of LDL cholesterol before it hits your artery wall and causes damage? That, of course, has yet to be shown, and perhaps the biggest issue has to do with the actual resistance of our body, as well as some other electrical properties. But from this paper, we're talking about our skin having like 100,000 ohms of resistance and our internal body resistance being 300 ohms. If that doesn't mean anything to you, that's okay. So the question becomes, can a meaningful amount of electrons actually make it into your body with that resistance to affect internal organ systems? And I think a logical reason for why the answer is probably no is that topical antioxidant creams, which would have a lot of free electrons, aren't a treatment for heart disease or internal organ issues. You know, those electrons on that antioxidant cream doesn't penetrate throughout your whole body. Otherwise, just covering your body in antioxidant cream would just cure all disease and prevent all aging. And another really interesting thing has to do with just how much electron flow, how much electricity flow there actually is between people and the ground when they're grounded. And thankfully, some electrical engineers went and made some instruments to actually measure this. These researchers in New Hampshire wanted to know, are these natural sort of signals, like the Schumann frequency that are said to help regulate our body, do they actually show up when you're measuring any signals? And they found some kind of disappointing results. First of all, they didn't find any particular signal, but, quote, "the currents flowing between the human body and the ground were small, nanoamps, and they correlated with subject motion." So somebody might scratch their nose and they get a slight difference in nanoamps, which is very few electrons actually moving. We'll talk about how little that is later on. But I want to be clear, the researchers were pretty generous here, saying that just because they didn't detect any Schumann resonance or any type of signal, that doesn't mean there isn't one. But still. But now we need to talk about those authors who are paid by the industry that have done 95% of the research out there. They are Chevalier and Oshman, and they are paid by EarthFX. Oshman is the author of Energy Medicine, and under that it says he's recognized energy medicine expert, who is also a physiologist, cellular biologist, and biophysicist. And I don't think these people's intentions are super bad. They don't seem to be always trying to sell things in the videos of them that I've seen. But there's still some claims that have been made that I feel are potentially dangerous. And that's the low-hanging fruit I want to hit first. You think anybody with a scientific background would need quite a bit of high-quality scientific evidence to be making claims. But in terms of COVID prevention and severity, here he is on a relatively recent YouTube chat.
A professor at a medical school in Iraq had a bunch of patients, so he grounded some people who were around others who were infected. They didn't get infected. They didn't get full-blown COVID. So we made a guess, and it looks like we were right.
Now let's look to this Iraqi study as it may be a randomized control trial and maybe some mechanistic data and on, absolutely not. It is this unpublished, not peer-reviewed paper. It's really a case report where somebody saw a dramatic increase in oxygen anecdotally. And then, quote, six people were in contact with COVID-19 patients that had performed preventative earthing. They contracted mild or short-lived illness, although their household were severely affected. No statistical analysis, no control group, no look at, you know, the demographics of these people's families, what other preventative things were they doing. I mean, it's just completely low quality evidence, to say the least. And why this is dangerous is that if people think that grounding is an effective preventative measure against COVID, they just go out there, you know, especially when cases are high.
To be fair, I don't think that's dangerous at all, because I don't think COVID really was what we're being told it was. So he's obviously made a lot of assumptions about COVID, and he's following the mainstream narrative. That honestly, if what you're doing is going out and taking your shoes and socks off in the garden or by a reservoir or in a forest or whatever it is, and you're being sensible about doing what you need to do to not be sick around people, to not be around sick people, or to limit the amount of time you have around. Even that, it's like, does infectious disease even exist? I mean, that's a question as well. So I'm not making the assumption that infectious disease exists, but if it doesn't exist, if there's something else going on that's psychological, then having a placebo in your head that suggests that you're not going to be infected by an infectious disease that doesn't really exist, that's actually a psychological contagion of some sort, would be a barrier. It would be a barrier to a psychological infection that then produces symptoms that everybody else is going to get and going to claim are coming from an infectious disease. So I think the idea of this being dangerous is a load of rubbish. So I'm going to continue to take my shoes and socks off anyway. And we're almost halfway through, so there's about 15 minutes or so of this left.
Thankfully, they're lower in my area right now, but contracting it, and there's no evidence here that it's reasonable at all to think that you're going to be better off. But this is where things get really interesting, because in that same talk, he makes a case for there actually being a measurable electrical difference when you're grounding, and therefore, of course, these benefits could be real. And here he is with the chart.
This is body voltage without grounding, and this is with grounding. You can see that there's a huge drop in the voltage on the body, measured at different places, so it works.
And I did dig around, and I found the original source, and that will be linked below if you want to look at it. It does the electrical measurements and says how they were done. So I did my research and learned how they are making these measurements, and I'm able to do it with the voltmeter that I already had for doing just electrical projects, and here I am. All right, here I am with a voltmeter with the settings that I need to have. I have it on alternating current here, and then I also have the black probe hooked up to the ground. I have the grounding mat hooked up to the ground, and according to how to use a voltmeter to test your voltage, you just have to have your hand then on the red probe. And right now I'm about 1.2, 1.3 volts. And then if I put my foot on the grounding mat, I am now at 0.8, 0.9, but I've come to the realization that the little clean cover that they sell with some of these actually is enough to keep stuff from happening, because look, if I now touch it directly on the sort of rubbery mat material, I'm down at 0.05, 0.06, so it goes down way lower if I do that. But there's a lot of interesting things, like standing up versus sitting down. Standing up is higher, and obviously standing is healthy. Sitting is like the new smoking, so clearly it wouldn't be like the better place to be. So yeah, it appears there was a drop in that voltage, especially when I made direct contact with that mat. We tested these same parameters for Lindy, and she was virtually identical. We tried to get some tests on Diego, the doggy, but he just sort of ate the treat on the mat and ran away. We couldn't get him in time. But this just got me really curious about everything, and so I had to measure outside as well, just stabbing into the ground, because in many of these papers, they're saying that 60 hertz voltage is a reflection of sort of the bleeding of our AC electricity affecting the body. So what do we have here? Well, it's stabbed right into the ground, turning the meter on, going to AC, and with insulated shoes on, I am at about a 0.2 volt rate, which is significantly lower than I was inside. And then get this, that's with my foot on the ground is a dead zero. So that's really interesting. But again, we're actually measuring the voltage difference between the ground and myself, so that's worth mentioning. It's going to be closer together. But do these changes mean that my thought process earlier was wrong, that there are electrons moving throughout our body in enough of amount to make a difference? And that brings me back to how voltage, again, does not equate to the amount of electrons moving. And the best example of that is when you're walking on the rug and building up static electricity, you are reaching like 20,000 volts, enough to arc the air and create that shock, but you're only creating about 1,000th of an amp worth of current, and by contrast, your plug is probably 15 or 20 whole amps. So that one voltage drop doesn't necessarily mean anything, and especially when you consider when they measured the amount of electrons flowing between the ground and people in that electrical engineering experiment, and that was only 10 nanoamps. So we've got our amps, our milliamps, our microamps, and then our nanoamps. So we're talking about like 0.00000001 amps. I don't know how many zeros that was, but it was probably about right. And that's possibly the biggest issue here, is that there's no indication that like a half a volt or a 1 volt drop would have any health effect. And to completely play devil's advocate, there are several studies actually showing a benefit for heart disease, for example, by electrically stimulating the body, you know, and that's with 2 volts, 2.5 volts, and more than 10 nanoamps of current. And looking to this study, it's also worth mentioning that they are doing that during surgery or with some electrified acupuncture to get it into the right spot. Another supporting piece of evidence that just putting things on skin doesn't necessarily work for the human body. And such heart disease studies in humans have shown a lowering of oxidative stress with electrical stimulation. So pretty much the opposite of what's going on here. Maybe a higher voltage is healthier. All right, now I'm going to do a sort of quick review of the main research in this field. And this could be an hour-long video, so I'm sorry for truncating some of these study analyses. But let's get to the first one, which is probably one of the most popular ones that's promoted. It's 2004, and it is about people with sleep disturbances actually improving their cortisol metrics by grounding. In this case, it was a lower nighttime cortisol and a regulation of the cortisol cycle, the study claims. Here's a chart of everybody's cycle sort of overlaid, and you can see the before and after, and the after looks more regulated. But I have to mention, this was not a randomized control trial. They did not have a control group. They did not have a placebo. And of course, it was pretty small. And the claim here again is that the Schumann resonance and other just electrical signals from the ground regulate circadian rhythm. Again, 10 nanoamps. I don't know about that. It's also possible that doing a study on a potential benefit to their sleep could just through placebo, increased sleep. Placebo is very powerful. That's why we have control groups. Anyway, moving on. Again, we have those industry-tied researchers whose names are on pretty much all the studies, Chevalier and Oshman, which brings me to this study on blood viscosity. And this one gave me pause because not only were they showing an improvement in viscosity or the thinness or thickness of blood, they also claimed that there was a voltage change of the blood cells from grounding. But there's a bit of a problem here. First of all, they recruited 10 people through word of mouth, which makes them really ripe for a placebo. Once again, they did not have a placebo or control group here. But they had them ground for 2 hours, and they took blood samples before and after that, and then they used a little slide with blood on it and measured the voltage difference across it. They saw, you know, a little bit of a change there. And you would think, oh my god, placebo alone can't change our blood voltage. Well, as they even mention here, it is accepted that blood viscosity and resistance to blood flow are related, basically, to high blood pressure. So it's a situation where they could be relaxed because they're getting a treatment. Their blood pressure could lower. That can lower viscosity. And with lower friction, maybe it changes the actual voltage of the blood a little bit. They also have a paper that includes accelerated wound healing. In the theory that I heard Chevalier describe was that the electrons that are coming from the earth actually help power the mitochondria of your cells, which allows them to create a healing effect faster.
But they also are able to give energy to the power unit of the cell, which is called mitochondria. So that means that your healing capabilities will increase.
But these are completely anecdotal case reports. We have this guy who got injured in the Tour de France. They did grounding, and it looks better, but they have no comparison. They also have this woman with this long-term wound that healed up. Again, completely anecdotal, no comparison. And it is worth mentioning that placebo is super powerful. As I've said before, sham or fake knee surgery was shown to be as effective as real knee surgery from this paper. But moving on, thankfully, there are some randomized control trials that have been done on the subject of grounding. And this first one was actually co-authored by Deepak Chopra, but also with some of the same researchers, and funded by EarthFX. This looked at massage therapist pain and quality of life, and on its face, randomized control trials claiming that there's less pain and these other benefits. Oh my god, this is legit. It even has a sham or fake treatment, but then I realized that the way they did it has a bit of an issue, and that is that they didn't actually have a placebo group and a non-placebo group. They did this weird time series thing where they started off for 1 week with the sham. They had a few weeks with the real grounding thing and then a final week with a sham again. This makes it impossible to delineate different time-related effects, whether there was a good season, bad season, or other thing like that, for example. And one that sticks out is they looked at the number of massages per week. And for whatever reason, during the first week of having the grounded treatment, the massages go way down, so these massage therapists are going to have way less stress on their hands and probably less pain during that period. So for that reason, I'm a little bit skeptical of those results. Moving on to another EarthFX-funded study. This time it was on muscle damage as indicated by creatine kinase, which is supposed to, you know, be a metabolic byproduct of muscle damage. They essentially had 16 people who were given real grounding and 16 people that were given fake grounding. And the result is they say that there was a decrease in this muscle damage marker in the grounded group. But then when you look closely from this chart, it was only statistically significant on one of the days in terms of the difference between groups. 3 out of 4 of the days had no difference. Now, it's likely that if they looked at this as a single comparison metric across the whole several day period, that it wouldn't be statistically significantly different. But this is sort of potentially accidentally doing P hacking or probability hacking, where you just have more data points and eventually one will be statistically significant. And the final randomized control trial, which again on its face, pun completely intended, seems persuasive, and that is on facial blood flow with grounding. They say that there was more facial blood flow in the real grounding group versus the sham grounding group. Again, this is a randomized trial. And the idea is more blood flow to the face is good. I think that is something that we can agree on here. But instead of doing some like larger statistical analysis between groups, I didn't see that in the study. They just seem to go over like person by person and sort of show their thermal imaging and a chart. So I would like to know, if you put everybody's numbers together in each group, is there actually a statistically significant difference? They didn't claim that there was, so I'm suspicious that there isn't. In the end, I have to reiterate that there is not really good research proving that grounding does not work. Again, looking at the theoretical like amounts of current and on, it seems very unlikely. I wish it would work. It's a cool concept. If there was something that was that easy that could help people out in terms of their blood markers and wound healing and all these things, that would be amazing. But the evidence seems to all be flawed in some sense or another. You know, all of the randomized control trials were smaller and seem to have a major flaw, at least in my opinion. You know, and that's beyond the actual industry funding for every single one, which we can't forget about. And I have to once again reiterate that the amount of current that is created by, say, walking on a carpet and getting some static electricity is probably about 100,000 times more than the amount that is recorded through grounding in terms of those 10 nanoamps. So it's very unlikely that there's this flow of electrons from the Earth that is large.
All right, I'm going to stop it there. There's only a couple of minutes to go. And I think I'm probably agreeing with him that the mechanism that people are claiming isn't actually the mechanism of what's happening. But that doesn't mean it doesn't work. That doesn't mean that it can't work. So, because it could just be placebo. It could be placebo, and placebos are very effective. So if everything, here's a theory then. If every illness that everybody on this planet has is generated psychologically by assumptions or belief systems or making inferences based on the fact that you've seen somebody else with the same symptoms or whatever. It's all psychologically generated, so something in my head is generating the tension in my muscles. Then a placebo is going to relieve some of the thing in my head that's creating the stress in my muscles, which relieves the stress in my muscles. And I'm quite happy with that. I don't have any problem with the placebo effect at all in terms of keeping myself healthy. I'm very much in favor of a placebo effect. I was speaking to a guy in one of the gay bars around the corner last Saturday night. Was it last Saturday? I think it was. And it turned out that he was a nurse manager and managing four wards in the local hospital, because I do meet random people. It has to be said, if I'm sitting at the bar with a pint, then random people are going to start talking to me. And sometimes they're interesting, sometimes they're not, sometimes they're sarcastic and you don't really want anything to do with them. Other times, like this particular guy, they turn out to be interesting. And we ended up having a conversation about whether COVID exists and whether the vaccines are effective. And obviously he's in the middle of it. He's managing four wards at accident and emergency at a major hospital in a city with, 300,000 people, something like that. So he's the guy who's on standby when the helicopters come in with an emergency. That's basically what he's doing. So he was very much claiming that COVID was a real thing and all of that. So we had a long conversation. We actually had a conversation that lasted over an hour, maybe 2 hours, ranging from the thing that's being called COVID and is it real, to is there a cure for cancer, because he also manages a cancer ward. And I'm claiming there is at least one cure for at least one type of cancer, and he's claiming there isn't any. And obviously I don't do pharmaceuticals, so all of what I'm looking at is things like Gerson therapy, and which is vegetable juicing and coffee enemas, which I think, if I remember rightly, is a cure for pancreatic cancer. Or is claimed to be. I suspect it is. But anyway, the conversation didn't really get very far. But he did volunteer you to send me his cancer patients because I was claiming I could cure them. This is what I do in a bar on a Saturday night. Honestly, it's ridiculous. So, if I ever bump, I didn't give him my phone. I haven't got a phone number at the moment anyway, but I didn't give him my phone number. But he did genuinely volunteer to send me some cancer patients to cure. So if I do bump into him again, I shall give him my phone number and I shall work with these cancer patients and see what I can do. But the point I'm making is that he agreed at one point that the PCR test was a load of rubbish, but he wouldn't go any further than that in this particular conversation. But one of the things that he agreed with was if everything is psychosomatic, if it's all generated by people's minds, then a placebo would work as a potential cure. So, but I'm not saying that a placebo will cure people of cancer, but it might get them to the point where they're less likely to die, or it might get them to the point where their body starts to heal a little bit, and then it's a cumulative effect. You add more and more placebos, and they become more able to cure themselves. I don't know. I haven't done any research. I'm just making random claims on a Saturday night in a bar. But it was an interesting conversation, and it shows you that the placebo effect is a genuine effect. So don't write it off. If grounding is just a placebo effect, it can still have a significant effect on your health. So my advice, if I'm capable of giving advice to people, is give it a try. If you've got aches and pains, if you've got stuff going on and you don't want to take pharmaceuticals, go and find a hill in a park somewhere that you can lie on and stretch your spine and take your shoes and socks off and lie there for 20 minutes or half an hour every day and see if it makes a difference. Because it might be different for every person. I don't know. All I'm doing is looking at what it might be for me. I can't claim I know anything about your body. I barely know anything about mine. But I am claiming that there's a possibility there that something might be happening, and we need to work out what the mechanism is, because it doesn't seem to be electrons moving from person to earth or earth to person. So it must be something else. It might be a psychological thing. There could be something going on with the human resonance for all I know. But I don't actually know what it is, what the mechanism is, so I'm not going to claim to know. All I know is that I am a little bit more connected with my body this afternoon than I was yesterday. And to me, that's significant. That's significant enough that I want to keep doing it. And now the weather's getting better, I'm going to make it a significant part of my routine. I've got to do the immunics as well, and I do my Reiki sessions, and I do occasional emotional freedom technique here and there. I've got quite a few different things that I alternate with because I get bored quite easily. So I have to have a few different things that I can do that will help me to let go of stuff or install new processes or whatever. The thing with immunics is that you're taking out something that's potentially a negative and putting in something that's a positive. And I sat for the last couple of days in the cafe at the Central Station with a piece of A4 paper in front of me and a pen. And I went through immunic sessions to take out mold and fungus and put in joy and clarity. And that seemed to work quite well. And I'm quite chatty. I'm more chatty today than I have been in a long time. And I think it's partly to do with the immunics. The immunics seems to have a significant effect on me, despite the fact that that might be placebo as well. I have no idea what's going on with that. I just like it. So if you want to learn more about grounding, there's plenty of videos on YouTube. Just put the word earthing into a search engine and you'll find it. Or look for a guy called Clint Ober, First name is C-L-I-N-T, and his family name is O-B-E-R. He's been doing interviews. He's an old guy, so I think he's trying to do as many interviews as he possibly can to get the word out about this stuff. But the interviews that I found were from about this time last year. And they're interesting. I've posted a few of the things that I found onto my podcast, which you can find on Spotify and Google Podcasts and all of those places. Just by looking for Free Association Radio Show, you should be able to find it. And I'll post this probably tomorrow when it shows up in the archive. And I've got another show to do after this one with a guy called Chris Wilson. And he normally does about an hour and a half presentation. I don't know what the presentation's going to be because I haven't looked at my emails yet. So I might well do that now. So I've only just got back my ability to do live shows on Podbean, but that's where the next show is going to be. So if you want to listen to a presentation by Chris Wilson, then head on over to podbean.com/freeassociation. Sign up for an account there and then download the app and look at the live shows tab, and you'll find a show called History Reimagined, which is the show that I do with Chris. So far, we've done two shows in about a month, so we're not doing too badly. I skipped one because I was ill, and then I had some technical issues last week. But we've not been doing too badly. We're doing a show about once every couple of weeks, and there's always something gets in the way of it, but we do manage once every couple of weeks. It might turn into once a week. I'm not sure yet, but Chris is interesting. He's got lots of research that he wants to get out to the world, so I'm helping him do that. And at the moment, I've just reached my 250th subscriber on the podcast, so I'm quite happy about that. I should be celebrating, really, because it's taken, 18 months I've been doing the podcast. So it's taken 18 months to get to 250. I wish it was 2,000. But it's 250 subscribers. But it's the right people, and that's the important thing. So once again, if you want to subscribe to the podcast, you can do that at Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Google Podcasts or Player FM or any of those kinds of places. You'll find me by looking for Free Association Radio Show or Free Association Roundtable. And there's a picture of me on the page, so you'll know that it's me because it's the same picture I use at Revolution Radio. All right, so I think we're just about done. I've got a couple of minutes, so let me have a look and say hello to the people in the chat room. Oh, and Revolution Radio is listener supported. Entirely listener supported. So we do rely on donations. If you have any spare cash that you want to point in the direction of Revolution Radio, you can do that at revolution.radio or at freedomslips.com. And there's a tab on the menu. There's a page on the menu that says donations. And there's a choice of ways you can do that. You can make a one-off donation or you can do a monthly donation if you prefer to do it that way. But it all helps. It pays for bandwidth and servers. We're all volunteers, so there are two studios running more or less 24 hours a day, plus the Hawk's Nest for kind of experimental stuff. And I try out new formats and things like that on the Hawk's Nest to see if they work. Occasionally, I'm not there every night by any means, but I do occasionally show up and try out a new format here and there. So that's pretty much it. I'm going to drop off now and prepare the show with Chris. So I shall see you next week. Thanks for listening. And bye for now.
It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
There have been imaginative science fiction writers for generations.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
Now, you know, I'm aware of some archaeologists that have uncovered large bones indicating giants in Virginia. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God, plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down and...
That's right. Yeah.
I'm Steve Crawford. Join me every Thursday night in Studio A at 6 p.m. Eastern for Factor Theory Live. Find us on www.revolution.radio. Great guests and great stories. What do you believe?
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that can